guys. I'm Nicholas Swanjan.
And I'm Chris Watson. And you're listening to QP Talk in the Maritime.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of QP Talk in the Maritimes. I am Nick, joined alongside my brother, Mr. Chris Watson. Chris, how are you?
I am doing well, sir. It's been a exciting week, I think, since the last time. There's always lots of things happening, so we got lots to talk about here.
Yeah, there's been a ton of things going on. Obviously, the big thing is 2745 and everything going on there. You and I fortunate enough this week to catch up with the provincial president of QB 2745, Teresa McAllister. Great interview. So thankful that you and I were able to pull that off this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, that's a hot topic. There was some stuff happening around that today, which we'll touch on a little bit later here. But yeah, no, definitely a hot topic and definitely glad that we were able to get together to do that as well.
Absolutely. The first thing I want to do tonight, though, is I'd like to take a moment of silence for I don't even know how I would put it all into words. A young man passed away, Liam DeWolf, who was a summer student with his father working with St. John Water, I believe that is what it is. And also best friends with my son, Alex. And I just like to take a moment of silence for him. Been one of the hardest things ever to deal with this week. So to get together with you here tonight and do the show, it puts a little regularity back into action. And today was the day of passing for him. He was laid to rest today. So I appreciate everything everyone did. And, it was a beautiful setup outside of the funeral home today for him, for his father, for respect, for everything. So I just want to thank everyone who attended, everyone that showed respect, and the phone calls I'm sure the family received. It was all beautiful. I know I'm rambling on here. I'm not good with that stuff. Chris, tell me what's been going on with you today. What's going on with you all week? I know we've been a little back and forth.
Well, today was it was a busy day for me, doing lots of different things. But one of the highlights of the day was getting a phone call from the executive officer from the National President's Office of CUPW. Thanking the New Brunswick Federation of Labor for their letter sent to the CEO of Canada Post Corporation. So they were assured of their that we will continue to stand here in solidarity along with them for their fight for a fair collective agreement. So we had a good conversation, and now it's another name I can add into the contact list of the phone book. So it's nice to be able to make those connections. So that was the highlight of my day.
Been a lot going on. I mean, when you think of CPW, you and I covered a lot of it last week. I was talking to brother Kevin Suddy, a retired CPW, Fundy 105, about everything he saw on this show last week. And he was very thankful and wanted you and I to know how much, he appreciated it, but as well as CPW. And I just reminded him, we do this show for the brothers, the sisters, the comrades. That's what we're here for. And this show is always going to be just that publication where people all over the place can hear our voices and understand what's going on in the labor movement.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm going to say I'm pretty impressed You got CUPW 5105. Somebody's been doing their minutes for Labor Council.
All done already. Well played. What is going on with what's going on with the Federation of Labor? Mr. President, we talked about that last week. And before I even get into that, I do want to say the response has been overwhelming on last week's episode, and we are very grateful for those who tuned in, those who have downloaded it, listened to it while driving. It was a great show with QBPEI President Ashley Clark and QB New Brunswick President Iris Lloyd. Chris, how's the feedback been on your end?
Oh, feedback's been amazing. And, it's just nice for the members to be able to hear, questions that they might have on their minds, and maybe they don't have the ability to ask them, and maybe they can't get in touch with the leaders. Everybody's so busy, busy, busy. And that's why, it's nice to be able to be here on this show. We can ask the questions, we schedule it up. And we're asking and finding out that information for the members. So feedback on that has been huge. But if you're wondering what's going on the Federation of Labor front, I got some exciting news on that front.
Tell me.
Because we've talked about it. You've heard me talk about it in all my addresses, right from January on, was the Blair Doucette Youth Summer Camp. Now, this camp has been in place since, around the year 2000. And COVID kind of killed the camp, unfortunately. We've tried to revive it a couple of times, and it hasn't gone. But I'm excited to say that 2025 is going to be the year. Participation registration is up, and we have met the requirements. It hasn't closed yet, and we're just waiting for those last few to roll in before the phone calls are made. But we are going to be having a camp this year. So that is very exciting. I'm very excited for our youth, and I'm very excited, for the executive and just for all the members and everybody involved. I know it takes a lot of people to put this camp on, a lot of donations from a lot of different unions. And, on behalf of the Fed and QP Talking the Maritimes, because I know we'll have some members from QP, some sending their kids. I just want to say thank you. I know Higgins Insurance, a great sponsor of ours, always makes a donation to the camp. A thank you goes out to Higgins as well. And same with all the other people that make donations. I know we do the, I'll do a plug right here because we haven't got any submissions yet, but Trade Unionist of the Year, a very, very honorable award, in my opinion. Last year was Brother Danny Legere, and the year before that was Brother George Lehman from BCTGM in Moncton. So if you have someone who you'd like to be honored as a trade unionist, get that submission in. And what happens is on Labor Day, we make that announcement, and then we honor them at the convention. And Argus Audiology makes a donation of $1,000 to the Blair Doucette camp as well in that person's name for that year. So it's a very noteworthy cause, a good way to honor somebody, and it also supports the camp. So get those submissions in.
I do want to say how cool it is that this camp's coming back, but I want to give the people not a history lesson because it's not that long ago, but I do want to say it's ironic that prior to you becoming the interim president of the Federation of Labor, you had already told me how you wanted these things back. Like you had said to me about, Nick, if you only would have saw this Blair Doucette camp and how great it was, how amazing it was, if I was in a position where I could make this happen, this is one of the first things I'd want to bring back to the youth in the province and stuff. And I just find it so ironic. Here we are, almost a year to date when all this stuff would begin. And now here you're saying it's a go. I mean, hats off to you, my friend. Hats off to everyone, obviously, that's done their part. But, you were very adamant about bringing this camp back, and we're now looking at it. The plan is in full effect. It's coming back. So good on you for that.
No, it's exciting. I've had the pleasure to be at the camp a bunch of times, and you know, I've been there as their representative for the union side, and I've been there on the side of management. And you know, usually what the good way that it works, right? Each year, the camp kind of promotes itself, because when kids get back to school, they talk about it.
Yeah.
So each year, it kind of promotes itself. Well, we have a whole fresh batch of kids that have never even heard about the Blair Doucette in summer camp before. So I'm even more excited, because these kids are coming in with no expectations. And it's going to be up to us to make sure to show them how to learn health and safety in the workplace, what a union is, what political parties are about, and not, you know, we don't brainwash any children, you know, because we know that there are some unions that are nonpartisan. We talk to them about PCs, liberals, NDPs, Greens. And what we do is each group of kids, like we number them off like we would in a classroom setting. And each group of kids, okay, you're the PC party, you're the Liberal Party, you're the NDP, you're the Greens. And they got to come up with their own platform and present to the kids. And then they hold a mock election. And then, you never know which kind of government's going to be in power. But it just teaches them a little bit about how political parties work. Because, you know, really, even though they might be in grade 9, in a few short years, they're going to be able to vote. So we want them to understand about the importance of voting and just listening to the platforms and things like that. That's what we aim for. And there's all kinds of other courses and materials as well. And there's all kinds of fun stuff. I'm rambling on here, too, because I'm excited about it. But let me tell you, it's going to be the highlight of the summer. That's for sure.
Guaranteed. It will be the highlight of the summer. Let's get in our vehicles. Let's drive all the way across this beautiful country of ours. Let's talk a little bit about QP coast to coast. You know, in Ontario right now, it's public versus private healthcare. A new poll shows that nearly 75% of Ontario want more funding for public hospitals instead of private clinics. QP's urge in this reflects growing public concern over the Ford government's healthcare privatization. I find that very scary. Public health is number one, and it needs to be number one always. Private Absolutely. Is not going to be the way to go. Brother, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. We touched on privatization here a few episodes ago. And talking about, how bad it is and how detrimental it can be. And, when we're seeing private healthcare clinics and stuff pop up, we got them popping up here in New Brunswick all the time. We got private MRI clinics. We got paid for plasma clinics. So they're popping up everywhere. And, we need to be diligent on those kinds of things because, these sorts of things need to be public. When they're private, I'm just...
I don't do well with private.
Right, yeah. Privatization, it just, irks me.
Yeah, me too, brother, me too. British Columbia, a free family event in Prince George. I thought this was cool. It was QP locals in Prince George are hosting a free public event at the Railway and Forestry Museum on June the 14th. Now, I'm a little upset about this because they're going to have rides. I like rides. They're going to have food. I like food. Just saying. And they're going to have entertainment. And, well, I'm not very entertaining, but I like to be entertained. So anyway, community outreach to the highlight, the essential services its members provide. So a very exciting thing. Why didn't you ask me if I want to go to this?
I'm sorry. I should have thought. Kind of reminds me of the events that we used to have here. Remember the QP Gives Back events?
It makes me think. You know, I love to give back. I love to help. When it comes to the community, They seem to have our back a lot when we need them.
100%.
Newfoundland and Labrador. I looked at this one and I didn't know much about this. QP has withdrawn from the Newfoundland-Labrador Education Accord, citing increasing privatization in education, and the union joins other groups raising alarms about diminished public oversight in the province's school system. Now, being that you and I are from the school system here in New Brunswick, we understand the importance of basically staying away from anything privatization, because we have one hell of a group here and we work hard here and we show it every day. That one bothers me a lot. I just didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, privatization as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it doesn't have any place anywhere. Like, point blank, privatization has no place anywhere. We believe in good public services.
And basically what has happened here is I have burned all the gas out of our car because I literally went from Ontario to British Columbia to Newfoundland, but we got to go back to Alberta because there's education workers strike going on. And that's roughly 6,600 QP education workers went on strike in Alberta to push the provincial's restrictive wage mandates. Their efforts led to significant wage increases, especially for the lower paid employees. Now, we know how important this is that, with everything going up around us, this is a very scary times, and money is very important, whether we want it to be or not.
We did it in 2021.
That's right. And we made a difference. And there are people out there that may argue that. But we made a difference, and I'm very proud to say that.
The way I always look at it, Nick, is when I agree to a position, I agree to a position based on this rate of pay, based on the economy being at this rate, and that's what I know that I can afford. And I say, yeah, okay, I'm going to take that job. If the economy starts moving this way, and all of a sudden the pay only shifts a little bit, well, now that's not what I agreed to. I agreed to a certain wage that I know that's a livable wage for me. When the gap starts getting so big, then the employer has the obligation, as far as I'm concerned, to pay that livable wage to make sure that that gap is maintained properly going forward. And if that doesn't happen, then as far as I'm concerned, then you're not living up to the initial agreement that we agreed to at the beginning of the terms and when I took the job.
I think that's fair. I kind of like that when you put it like that. It's almost like looking at it from a different way. Like, I never looked at it that way. Like, I took this job because when I took this job, you know, I was able to kind of figure my life out. But now everything else around me has skyrocketed and I'm still sitting here at this wage. I never looked at it that way before, brother. I like that. That's a good way to look at it.
Just try to make things, I try to simplify things sometimes and make it, but yeah, that's the way I always looked at it.
No, I like that. What's going on New Brunswick-wise? I know we're going to get into some. Have you heard anything else? I know you've been making phone call after phone call for the last 2 weeks. How is everything else shaping up? Summer's coming. People are away, vacation. Where else are we headed? I know we got 2 weeks left. You and I, we don't know yet what we're going to bring to the people next week or the week after. But, how excited are you to slow? You don't really slow down. You don't really get that opportunity. I'm excited. But
I'm just excited for warm weather.
Warm weather is coming, my brother. It's coming. I promise.
It's nice to put the window down on the highway. That's it.
The tentative agreement. We know those dates are coming up. How excited are you about that for 12.5.3?
Yeah, actually, there's been all kinds of excitement. 12.5.1 also has a tentative deal. So 12.5.3's vote's coming up on the 22nd. 12.5.1 got a tentative deal. 27.45, we'll talk about that. Court stenographers got a tentative deal. So there's been all kinds of exciting stuff happening around, right? So all kinds of bonuses and wins, hopefully, and lots of positivity. I mean, to mix in with the negativity, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because it can't always be sunshine and roses because, you know, heaven forbid the leaders would want to just work on, you know, other issues instead of having to put out wildfires.
I couldn't agree more. I really couldn't. Of course, with us, we're going to have a busy summer as far as preparing the brand new QP Talk in the Maritimes with you and I, and of course, a welcoming brother, Wes Wills, and welcoming Brian Watson. And like, we have got so much on the go. I'm so excited for everything. Brother, we are going to be busy. We really are.
Yeah, no, definitely. But it's what we do, and I can't wait. I'm happy to have our new members on board. Like you said about Brian, also our sponsor, right? Chart Oak Design. So
that's right.
He's jumping in feet first and helping us out, and I'm very thankful. And the same with Brother Wes Wills. You know, I'm happy to have him on board too. And they're both going to bring some good team energy to QP Talk here in the Maritimes.
They really will. I guarantee that. Why don't we take a break? We want to let the people, we want to run some commercials, and then I really want everyone to listen to this interview with the one and only QB2745 Provincial President Teresa McAllister. Maybe you and I'll break down a little bit after the interview on what they're going through and what they did today. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Okay, brother, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Nick, what's going on? Like, whoa, hey, what's with the saw?
I'm here to help remove the tree.
What tree?
The big tree that fell in the house.
That's the tree that I talked about on QP Talking the Maritimes?
Yeah, I called the boys, man. They're coming over to help me.
Oh,
we got you.
You have to call them and cancel that because I've already been taken care of. That was 8 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah, Higgins Insurance. They already took good care of me. 8 years ago.
That's because there's a safety net for the unexpected.
Absolutely. They're there for when accidents happen. Call 506-849-7800, Pettengill Road, Quispam Sys. Higgins Insurance. They got you covered. Welcome, everyone, to QP Talk here in the Maritimes. I'm Chris, along with my co-host, Nick. And with us today, we have a special guest, Teresa McAllister, Provincial President, QP 2745. How are you today, Teresa?
Oh, living the dream. Thanks.
Living the dream. Well, it must be a nightmare right now because obviously we know that there's some cuts happening and your group is directly affected. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Of course, it all began on April 28th, coincidentally the National Day of Mourning, when I got the first inkling of an elimination of our school library workers in Anglophone West, with no heads up from anybody that this was happening, other than the news media and a member who reached out. So it proceeded to continue from there until June 2nd, when I was given the heads up by the superintendent and EECD and Treasury Board that Anglophone South in the St. John area was following suit and eliminated all the library workers in that district too.
Teresa, tell me how does one not mention this to the provincial president, somebody, the leader like yourself who is taking very good care of her members? How did you not know this, or at least have an inkling that this was even going to happen. I find that amazing that you were stuck in such an awful position to find out from a member that this was happening.
I divert it back to the communication process. When layoffs happen at the end of the year, that's the norm. But something of this magnitude, when they eliminate a classification, I think it goes up a step further. And as far as 2745 not being included in those conversations, it goes back to respect or lack of.
Right. Now, I know you, your group had a tentative agreement in place and a vote was supposed to happen. And it's, I think I've heard that it was just hours kind of thing when you had found this out. Can you just give us a rundown on what the executive had to do when you found out? Because I imagine it would have been mass panic throughout the group.
We were scheduled to vote, I want to say, around May 14th or 15th. I was called to a meeting in Anglophone West, my first meeting, to speak with the superintendent, treasury board, et cetera. And so we, you know, asked for reconsideration, alter their plans that they had put in for their budget cuts or whatever. But the answer was a clear no. They had spent time and energies on it and were not open to reconsider. I said, thank you very much. We left there at approximately 1:05. Our vote was to start at 3 p.m. So from 1 till 3, with the help of my executive board, we got in touch with approximately 5,000 members and halted the vote and put it on pause.
One of the biggest things I want to talk about is you said it to me when we were together just a couple of weeks ago about this. It's all about that safety net. You know, the kids could go to a library. They felt safe. You know, there was so much to give. Can you explain to the public just how important those libraries really are to those kids today?
The libraries are essential, and not just for the aspects of reading, resources to find, to work on projects, but they are a very important safety net for a lot of the students who just don't fit in or don't have those skills to go out and kind of find their way. And a lot of them have built very strong relationships with the library workers, whom they trust, and have used them as an ally to support them in any ways that they can.
Yeah, now I know that there's probably been conversation around the executive board. Can you tell us about the other groups? How do they feel about it?
The other groups are very concerned and dismayed that that has happened, and especially where we had a tentative agreement. So, you know, they are very supportive. We've got letters of support from different groups, and there's more to come, not only as representatives of unions, of CUPE unions, but also as parents and grandparents and the people on the ground that this is affecting their kids.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have one of the lowest literacy rates across Canada. You would think that we'd have a government that would want to put money into keeping our libraries open because, you know, you can't always do everything off a screen. They expect things on smart boards and everything else. But, you know, we need the libraries. Like you said, they're a safe space and, you know, they're a very essential part of the education system. Now, you said about the other groups writing letters and things like that. What is something that you would want to see your membership do that can obviously help with this?
Well, today some of them did go and contact their MLAs in their offices by phone call or in person and had a conversation about these cuts are detrimental to the well-being of the workers and the students and asked that they reconsider. Some were not up to know of what really has been transpiring. So that was kind of not a good feel. And I did have one last meeting. Well, I don't know if it was my last downtown this morning at EECD and kind of asked for reconsideration of their cuts and the letter, the moratorium that we had requested in May 16th to kind of put a reprieve on these cuts for at least a year, which we have not gotten any response to.
Well, you know, I don't want to go on a rant because I tend to do that when I start to get upset about things. But the one thing with me that really bothers me is the unexpectancy of this whole thing happening. And I believe that when morale is high, things get done, people are happy, and everyone works well together. Where are you and the members at morale-wise with the government coming in so strong like this?
The members, year-end is a crazy, chaotic time of year anyway, but to have these eliminations on top of that has just added fuel to the fire, and the members are nervous, anxious. They don't know what to expect. Will they have a job? Will there be anything available? So a lot of uncertainty has taken over, which, you know, you're kind of getting hopeful for summer and the break and things like that. But when this crane came down with the ball, it has really, really put the members in a bad spot.
Well, I know one thing we can reassure your membership is that QP, not only here in the Maritimes and in New Brunswick, stand in solidarity, but across Canada. And it's the same with the Federation of Labour. We're going to continue to do whatever we can to support you. I know we've sent letters and emails directly to the education minister. So we're going to be doing some follow-up phone calls to that because we haven't received any correspondence back. So there's going to be a lot more pressure coming to that department real quick.
Well, I thank you. I thank everybody for their support and, excuse me, their understanding, because this is a difficult process for everybody that are affected. And we have had some students that have contacted their MLAs, and it has been addressed, you know, in the ledge and, you know, at the DEC meetings and things like that. I've not given up. I have no intentions of giving up. And if they think I'm going away, I'm not going anywhere right now. So we will push back and fight this with all our mechanisms that we have as one single group. But I know I'm not alone, so we'll have many allies.
Absolutely. And like you saw my post online, you know, cuts to library services aren't something that's new. You know, we found that poster from years and years ago with Sandy Harding's children in it. And, you know, they're all grown up now, but they were quite small in it. So, you know, government's always been under it after school libraries. So, you know, this isn't something new, but it is something that's happening rather quickly. So that's why it's important to act on it right now. And try to get these cuts reversed as soon as possible.
And just on that note, Chris, for those, they're wanting to, they gave money, they want some money back there, and now they're reallocating funding back to the districts. They're giving them some extra money. But I guarantee you in my meeting today, the library workers were not even thought about in the reallocation to give that money back. That was what the comment was. And to bring them back is less than $1 million for both districts to bring back all those library workers. It's pittance is what it is.
Right. Now, I know we've heard around the district, we've heard from different people saying, you know, about keeping an eye out for volunteers and things like that, because, you know, if you catch people kind of doing that stuff, it's been noted that that's scab work if that happens. So. We have eyes and ears open and keep an eye out for that if should anything like that happen. So, you know, and then that's the importance of everybody just kind of working together, right?
Yep. And we'll be watching.
And, right. you know what? The other thing, too, is I need everyone listening to this to understand I just want it to be clear that 2745 is the backbone to our education. They do and do and do and do. They are always on the go, whether it's library, whether it's in classrooms, whether it's just sitting with a child. People don't realize how much work QP2745 puts in. And I'm just here to say, as someone who works with 1253, I see it. And I truly do believe that without 2745, things would not run the way they do every day. So hats off to you and your members, and the government just needs to get up off the seat, recognize that mistakes are made, but you have an opportunity to put them back together and just move past it. And it's something they may want to reconsider, because they're starting to upset a lot of people across this province doing something like this.
Thanks. And part of the moratorium was that, you know, you reverse these cuts, we would vote. We would have our tentative agreement vote. We would pull the two labor board complaints, and we would have the year-end staffing sessions. But again, we have gotten no response to that letter. I don't even know what was considered, but they did have a way out, but they're not looking to take it because, like I said, it's not just the principals and teachers that make the school system work, and it's not just the nurses and doctors that make a hospital work. We work together, we are support, and they need us.
You are amazing. I appreciate you taking time to sit down with Chris and I. We respect you. You are an amazing provincial president. Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thanks, Teresa.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, Nick.
Hey,
what's going on?
Just ordered one of those elbows up Canada signs.
Don't even worry about it. Here, you can have mine.
Hey, you already got one.
I did.
Yeah. That's cool. Thanks.
I didn't get another one.
No, hey. Thanks.
There's a great local business right here in St. John, New Brunswick that I can get them at. Chart Oak Design. Find them on Facebook. Personalized gifts. They make just about anything.
Anything?
Absolutely. Send them an email, info@chartoak.ca, or you can give them a call, 506-343-0454. And remember, it's extremely important to support local businesses.
This is awesome. Thank you.
No problem. Enjoy.
And we are back here on CUPE Talking the Maritimes. Of course, I'm Nick, joined with Chris. Chris, you talk about us making things happen. I'm just saying, we were sitting in a vehicle.
Right? That's so. Don't tell the police, that's how fast we drive.
How many minutes you figure between that phone call, hey Nick, are you good to do that interview? We pulled that off.
Roughly 10 minutes. I got a message on the road. I'm driving along. All of a sudden, you know, I got it hooked into my car, so the Android Auto goes off on the screen. Grayson McAllister. Hey, I'm good for that meeting. It's like, holy crap. Boof. Pull off the side of the road. Call Nick. Nick, what are you doing? I'm going here. Okay. I'm going like right in the same direction. Let's meet right now. Bam. Away we go. And, you know, that's the exciting part about doing this sort of thing. And, you know, and that's the exciting part about being an activist. You know, you're not always going to be able to plan things out. You're not always going to, you know, be able to come up with a time and a schedule. Like Sandy says, all of a sudden you got to pivot. And, you know, when you're needed and you can do it, you go.
Well, we definitely pivoted and we made it work. And what a great interview that was.
Yeah. And, you know, and thanks to Teresa for taking the time out to give it to us, too, because I know I messaged her like way earlier in the day, and her response was absolutely as soon as I can find the time to, you know, to do it, because there's just multiple meetings going on that, you know, with her and government, her and her executive. And so, you know, really just thank you for getting in touch with us to do that.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And of course, just to add to that, 4 hours ago, Sandy Harding had put a post out on social media about, I'm going to read you the entire thing. It's not long, but it's definitely worth it. And, you know, we were with them regardless there or not. We were with them, and that's why we're covering it. Good afternoon from Fredericton. CUPE New Brunswick Executive Board spent the lunch hour at the MB legislation supporting
QP Local 2745, Save Our School Libraries, Fight Back. School libraries are important spaces and should be staffed with library workers. Their work is important to students and vital classroom support. Reach out to your MLA, and this is what we are encouraging you folks to reach out to your MLA and ask to save our school libraries and freeze the elimination of library workers for the upcoming school year. This could not be more important. Brother Chris, tell me, but when I read that to you, you know, what's going through your head?
What's going through my head is just the last thing you said, contacting your MLA. That's what you need to do. That's the how we get things done, is pressure. Pressure, pressure, pressure on the government. Make those calls. You know, don't be afraid to just say what's on your mind. You know, tell them who you are. Tell them, you know, you're with QP or you're with another organization. And, you know, and if you support it, then tell them, you know, hey, that cutting library services is wrong and that it needs to be reversed immediately. Like, you can use the words demand, that you demand that these cuts be reversed. Or you can say that we're asking for these cuts to be reversed. But either way, don't let the fear of a politician stop you from making that call. They are elected officials, but they are human just like us. And trust me, and if enough calls come flooding in, then that can make a difference.
It is the most important thing that you guys are going to do today. You know, the fact that this has even been brought up, the fact that this was even discussed, whether anyone knew about it or not, is absolutely disgusting. You are taking away from our young children, the next generation. You are basically saying to them, you don't need to learn to read. You just don't need a safe place. You just don't need anything other than the classroom. Is the classroom important? 100% yes, it is. But I'm going to tell you, whether it is a guidance counselor's office, whether it is a library, whether it is a swimming area, whether it is the boys and girls or anything else, the washrooms, every part in a school is important. Don't let anyone tell you that it's not. And don't let anyone tell you that we don't need library workers, because I'm here today to say we need them. Contact your MLA. Let's make a change.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, let's face it. I mean, it's out there. Statistically, New Brunswick has one of the lowest literacy rates across Canada. So we're going to take away resources for students to help them learn how to get their literacy rates up. You know, when they're reliant on technology, you know, we still have a lot of kids that live in rural areas. And, you know, maybe they might not have the best internet. Or maybe, you know, maybe they can't afford internet. Who knows, right? There's all kinds of different scenarios there where kids can't and kids can. And to think that we're, you know, that we're looking at that as a plausible solution to, you know, figure out where we need to adjust funding and stuff like that, you know, to do it on the backs of the students is absolutely unacceptable, and do it on the backs of the workers. Because that's who they're doing it on, yeah. Right? They're eliminating those workers and they're eliminating the school libraries, right? It reminds me of a campaign I saw on YouTube, and you can look it up. Where it was saying, you know what, if we're going to get rid of the libraries, why don't we just burn all the books? We'll just put all of them in one big pile and we'll just have a big book burning ceremony, right? If we're not going to have them, let's just burn all the books. You know, but really, like, when you think about it, I mean, these places, yes, it's a place for literacy and everything too, but it's also a safe spot where if kids want to go sit quietly, you know, heaven forbid, that someone might be going through something, you know, being bullied or something like that. You know, that's a safe spot where they can go, sit quietly, you know, even if it's by themselves, so they can grab a book. You know, there's always somebody there, the librarian's there, or another kids can come and sit. It's just, it's a safe spot for them. You know, and coming out of the pandemic, there's a lot of mental health issues, and I don't think we should be looking at taking away anything that's going to help benefit any student or anybody like that. To me, this is just, it's the wrong decision. And I know I'm going to be making the call to my MLA probably daily, just to remind them that that these cuts need to be reversed, and they need to be reversed now.
I couldn't agree more with you. I think it's devastating, and I think it's damn right wrong. And somebody needs to take accountability for that call. And better yet, it's okay to take accountability for it, because I'm sure if you made that call, you can take it away as well. So It needs to be taken away.
Absolutely, right? And if you're not comfortable making a call, send them an email.
100%.
Send an email to your MLA, right? Send an email to your MLA and CC the Minister of Education on it.
Yep. It's a very sad day when we have a group of people up, whether they are at the legislator or wherever they are, just deciding, hey, let's save some money and let's pull books from a library and not have somebody in there that is almost like a friend to students in every building. And, you know, I find it very disheartening. I find it very, very emotional that they would even consider such a move. And you know, I will stand behind QP 2745. I will stand behind Teresa McAllister, and I'll stand behind every member there. And I will continue this, and I will continue to bring it up weekly on our show. As you see the logo on the screen that says school libraries, school library workers matter. You want to believe they matter. They matter every little bit to a school.
You want to know how much they matter? There's certain people in your life that you don't forget. I listen, I've walked into a room and I've forgotten why I'm going into that room, and sometimes turn around and walk away. I could be talking to you mid-conversation and forget what I'm talking about. But there's certain people who you never forget in life. And I've been out of high school over 20 years, and I will never forget the school librarian, because I used to spend a lot of time in there, and it was Mrs. Tunney. And I'll never forget her, right? She made a lasting impression on my life. You know, here we are 20-something years later that I still remember the woman.
You still remember.
You know, just because of her kindness, you know, the way that she just went above and beyond, you know, to try to get me into into an interest in reading, and the way she just stayed relevant, and she knew all the children, and just an amazing woman. So, you know, to say that these things don't matter, like, they 100% do. You know, when I think of a school system, you think of classrooms, gymnasiums, art rooms, libraries, music rooms. You think of all of these different places that are necessity in a public education system. And, you know, when you start eliminating them, it's like, okay, well, what's next, right? And it's just, we gotta fight back on this. And because, you know, an injury to one is an injury to all. And if we don't, like I said, if we don't fight back on this, then what's next? You know, we got to push back. These kids need this library, and these workers need their jobs.
I could hear here. I couldn't agree more. Brother, I don't know why I'm so sensitive this evening, but it's been a rough few days. I think what we need to do now is remind these great listeners, that they can listen to us live on pretty much all major podcasts. They can watch us live on YouTube, on QPTalk.ca. They keep up with everything we're doing. We try to be everywhere. We absolutely love you guys. We appreciate you guys. You guys make us who we are. You guys are helping us with this show. We do this for you guys. Chris, tell these folks about the wonderful thing you did, and we'll get you to wrap it up, and we'll come back next Tuesday and do it all over again.
Yeah, so one of the good things that happened at the New Brunswick Federation of Labor Convention was wonderful Chart Oak Design, our wonderful sponsor, donated some different items that had the New Brunswick Federation of Labor logo burnt into them and everything. And George Lehman from BCTGM, also vice president for small unions on the NBFL executive, raffled them off, and we were able to raise $400 in donations. And I took that donation over to Romero House here in St. John, New Brunswick the other day. And let me tell you, there were some very happy people in there to receive that money. I looked at the different statistics, and since 2019, I think there was like 48,000 meals served. And then you jump ahead to last year, and it was like 150-some thousand. Like, you know, it's shot up astronomical. So that $400, I know, is going to go to help feed some people in need here in the city. So thank you again to everybody that bought a ticket at the convention. Like I said, it really made a very positive impact on my day, and it really helped those people in need. And on that, Nick, it's been a slice, but we got to cut it short. I could talk here all night, but we got to save some for next week. So on behalf of Nick and Chris and QP Talk here in the Maritimes, we'll see you next time.